You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Second half of the show is live. We've had a good one, Michael McCann, early on the NCAA decision in East Tennessee. We'll get more phone calls right now, and Mike is up next in Kentucky. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon.
What you doing, Paul? You doing having a good day?
We are doing great, thank you.
All right, this is Skeeter from Lancaster, Kentucky. I called you about 4 years ago about my sister-in-law died.
Oh yes,
and
I do remember that.
Appreciate you saying something positive about her on the show. But I want to get back to Kentucky basketball, and I want to see all them people I hear from that's down in Kentucky. They ain't dead. And I bet you one thing, Alabama ain't going to get through the SEC tournament. I guarantee you that.
No, I think Kentucky with the win at Auburn and the win Saturday night has proven to be the most fascinating team that will enter the NCAA tournament here in 3 weeks.
I appreciate that. And I'm surely, I think it was Larry, I can't remember which one said, but Kentucky ain't nothing. We ain't worried about Kentucky. Buddy, you better be worried about Kentucky and basketball. Never underestimate Kentucky basketball. That's all I got to say. Hey, and Paul, it's up and down. That's how you bounce the ball, right? Up and down, up and down.
That is correct.
I appreciate you,
Paul. Thank you, Mike. Great to hear from you. Dave is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Paul. Loving the show. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Not quite as enthusiastic as the previous caller, but I would like to kind of go back to the other day. Legend was talking about love NATO's. Love that man, baby. Love him. Paul, love that man, baby.
Yeah.
Love what he's got going on, baby. Wonder how much he loved it Saturday night when they were getting the brakes beat off of him.
Yeah,
and believe
was,
me,
that,
this,
that
is
was
not,
serious.
This is not a gloating call, because with our next game, the wheels could fall off again. It's the most frustrating team I've ever seen. I think it's probably the most offensively prolific. I've been a Kentucky basketball fan my entire life. This is arguably the most prolific offensive team that I've ever seen at this university, but they just can't rebound and play defense consistently. But I'll say one thing. The SEC tournament should be interested. Wondering what your thoughts are. Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, I can't wait. I think Kentucky is, 2 weeks ago, I think they were really in a bad spot. They are now in a great spot. They have momentum at the right time. They have such impressive wins recently, which overshadow the losses. So, I'm feeling good about the Cats again. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Susie is in Georgia. Hello, Susie.
Good afternoon, Paul. Nice way to start my week. Hope
Thank
you're
you.
Doing good.
We're doing great.
Two things I wanted to mention. I think it was Malcolm that was talking about the Tim Tebow and Macon.
Right.
The Night to Shine. That's worldwide. And he started it in 2015, and I think that was the year. I have a college friend whose daughter is special needs. It's not just for Downs. And it's for all special needs. And he was there, and she got to dance with him. And I remember the pictures and the look on her face. And she goes, every year, it's just absolutely fabulous. And I've got a girlfriend here who's grandson in high school. And the football players go and be chaperones, or be partners for some of the women going in to dance with him. Now, it's Tim Tebow's fabulous. Hats off to him, certainly. Second of all, did you get anything on the Eli Drinkwitz at the Tennessee basketball game?
I've seen a few things on that I'm pretty sure something happened, yes.
Yeah, well, it's said that he was sitting courtside. According, at one point in the first half, he was talking trash to Tennessee players, and this is through the announcer, Tom Hart. So that's pretty sad, you know,
yeah,
hearing
what,
it from the
football
field.
What I believe happened is that he was making fun of the Tennessee's quarterback and the way he played against Missouri. But I don't know this for a fact yet, but I've seen various reports, and hopefully we can get a little more information before we
yep,
make much more out of it.
Because it's kind of sad that you would have a coach that would demean
themselves. It would be particularly sad, you're right, that the head coach of a team would be talking trash to young players about something other than what they are currently doing, which was beating his team.
Yeah. Plus, did you see where, I saw it on First Take today, where,
you're talking about the Duke situation, yes.
No, I'm talking about
Cam Newton?
The football. He has a football camp.
Yeah. Well, hold on. Cam Newton had putting on a 7-on-7, a fight broke out. As best I can tell, he was trying to break it up. It looked like he was part of it.
Absolutely.
I don't think
that's what they were all saying because of his qualities and his decency, but the kids today lacking the respect for coaches and that. Yeah, they showed that on First Take and we're talking about it, and I thought that was pretty sad. Well, I hope you have a great week. Good hearing from Larry. I just love his what's up. Good for you, Larry. Keep your health going, buddy.
Thanks, Susie. Appreciate the call. Let's move along and check in with Jim in Chicago. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Paul. Great show.
Thank
love
you.
The show. First time caller.
Great to have you on.
Hey, thank you. Yeah. Live in Chicago, originally from Louisville area. Love the Cats. It's going to be a very interesting SEC tournament. I think we got a really good shot to win it. But I was curious, have you seen the new Dottos duo with Reed Shepard and Rob Dillingham?
Yes.
With their new NIL deal.
It is very cool.
You think these guys are going to class?
I really don't know, Jim. I haven't. I have no evidence one way or the other.
I'm just kidding you. I play college ball myself. It'd be nice if I was.
When did
in these times?
How long ago did you play, and how often did you go to class?
Well, it was '96 to 2001.
Okay.
And probably 75% of the time.
Yeah, I went to school quite a few years ahead of you, and since I covered the team, I knew all the basketball players, and I was in a few classes with them, and I made it more than they did. Let me put it that way.
Right. No, I just wanted to call in, first time caller. Love
Thank
the
you.
Show. Listen to you just about every day, and I'm just excited about our team this year.
Well, I'm glad to hear from you. Thanks, Jim. Yeah, and I felt proud of not many things I did in college, but I did help a few basketball players remain eligible. Let's check out Kurt in Florida. Hello, Kurt.
Hey, Paul. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call today.
You're doing
I want to
great.
Talk about an epidemic that's going on and with high school recruiting. But the poor kids now, like it. I work at a school in Florida that's a state powerhouse, and we have kids that aren't getting scholarships now because of the transfer portal and free agency. And it's just,
really?
It's really sad that this is happening to kids. Yeah, it's like the free agency of the transfer portal. We're talking lower-level schools. I'm not going to mention any schools, but lower-level schools that come in and they tell a kid they want to sign them and everything, and then the kids get actually getting ready to go to the schools, and they say, you know what, we're going to the transfer portal for our guys. And I'm just wondering, outside of the 400 kids, that, you know, the 4- and 5-star kids that get all the money, and go to these the big programs, it seems like when they don't make it, they just get recycled back into free agency again somehow. And it's kind of sad that this has happened where, you know, our coach even said he didn't want that university on our campus anymore, recruiting kids.
That's amazing. I mean, I know that it over the years there have been certain requirements that if you could leave a school under fairly loose under fairly loose neighborhood or however, you know, eligibility being in that area or in that school district. But I have not heard of this before. This is pretty crazy.
It's just that the colleges are not taking kids because they're going to the transfer portal instead. Why wouldn't they want a kid that actually has been to college football for a couple of years instead of a high school kid who actually is a really good player and a good student? Our kids are really good students these days, not like it used to be, where you have really, you know, kids taking AP classes, kids are, you know, high GPAs and still struggling to get scholarships because of the transfer portal.
That is interesting. By the way, Kurt, that's news to me, but I'll look into that. Thank you very much for the call. Let's get some clarification on all of these issues from Johnny B.
Hey, Paul. Good to talk to you today.
Thank you.
You know, I kind of like a good conspiracy theory every now and then. You know, the two shooters on the grassy knoll, something like that. And,
right.
You know, when Saban abruptly left, it just, something didn't seem right about that to me. You know, did it feel awkward to you?
Well, I mean, we heard just the other day from Brian Kelly, who said he was on a Zoom call with him. Was it that day?
Coach Locksley, too. If you'll remember, Coach Locksley and Coach Kelly said they were talking to him.
Yeah, Locksley said the same thing. I mean, that's anecdotally, that's pretty strong. Two coaches. I mean, I know people. I talked to somebody that was on his staff as a significant assistant coach who said he didn't know walking in the door that day at the team meeting that he was going to do that.
Yeah. So follow me here.
Okay.
Right after this, the abrupt way that they, you might as well say, presented Eli with a situation, mm-hmm. You do what we say, your history anyway. If you play along with the game, you know, we're going to feed you out of here. But if you choose not to, it's over. Adios. So I'm thinking, you know, the program was in decline. You know, a few fluke plays. They would have been, you know, three or four lost teams. And there's that standard of excellence they kept talking about. And I'm thinking, you know, the line, that last play, I mean, number 77 is out of the game. He wasn't even starting. Sign, you know, early
Johnny
in the year.
I don't want to jump on your call here, but what are you suggesting?
I'm saying that they approached him just like they did Eli Gold with a, hey, coach. You know, how many times have you ever seen a coach, you know, stay past his welcome, Paul, and then the program goes down? We don't have time for that.
Usually when they do that, they're like 3-9. They're not one play away from the national championship game.
Well, you know, you had a fluke play at Auburn. You had a lucky call against Georgia. And you go for a fourth down in the biggest game, and a quarterback sneak, and your pathetic line gets blown up.
Well, you really didn't have much choice, considering you were down by
center.
You were down in overtime. What were you supposed to do?
Your center has been bad all year. Saban wouldn't have let that happen if he was on top of his game. I'm thinking based on how Eli did.
Well, let me offer one thing, Johnny, and I feel like I know more about Eli leaving than I did about Nick Saban. I'll just offer this to you. Inside that athletic department, for many, many months, the word was that this was going to be Eli Gold's last year. I can tell you that I heard it from people that mattered. It wasn't discussed publicly. That was not a surprise. Nick Saban leaving was a surprise.
So after the Georgia game, when he comes over there and he puts his arm around him and he tells Coach Saban, I appreciate all you've done for me. Yeah, I could smell blood.
Johnny, you're not really listening here. Eli Gold knew that his time was short. He knew that going back probably 9 months, maybe longer. Something went down between Eli Gold and the university, and that's why even Greg Byrne today in an interview barely addressed it. He does not want to say what.
I'm not buying this.
You don't have to buy it, and I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm just telling you things that I picked up.
And they present him, hey, we're going to clean out a closet down through here and hang a name tag on it. You show up at a few basketball games, we'll give you the graceful exit, you can retire, or we're going to show you the door. I think he got the same.
Well, by the way, Johnny, I don't mean to argue, but I will. If Eli Gold, who knew as far back as a year, remember, don't forget, Eli Gold was very sick. And there's a lot of things. I mean, he was out of, he was literally MIA for about a year. Nobody heard anything from him. And I have no idea. I mean, all I know about Eli Gold is what he told us on the program and what I've talked to him privately about before all this went down. But Greg Byrne has not said a word, and he's not
of
going to say.
Of course not.
Well, because I don't think he wants to.
They've been through the deal.
Hey, Johnny, do you want Johnny? Do you want a conspiracy theory or do you want my opinion?
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. I mean, I'm not trying to get in the middle of something, which I'm about to. But I don't believe Greg Byrne has talked about it because I don't believe Greg Byrne wants to put Eli Gold in an embarrassing situation. Greg Byrne, he's partners with Learfield Communications. Nobody's really said anything. Something happened. And Eli Gold got on the wrong side of that university. I don't have any doubt about it. And they gave him a graceful way to leave. Had he accepted it, we wouldn't be having this conversation. We would be talking about his 35 years of stellar performance. Instead, it came out the other day that he's now the voice of some arena team in Nashville. That's not how you're supposed to go out when you're an absolute legend. But that's the way he chose to go out. We'll take a short break, and we're back after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options, such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Glad you're with us. And let's check in with Judy in PCB. How are you, Judy?
Hey, Paul. How are you today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
You sound good anyway. I hope you had a good weekend after last
Thank you.
Week. It was
Fantastic.
Kind of rough. And everything.
Nothing alcohol won't cure.
Okay. Or at least numb it a little bit. I tell you, I just have to say to Dwayne, I can't call him handsome because I don't know what he looks like. But when he's always talking about, you know, I mean, he called you a couple months ago. He was cooking chili. And you said, oh, I love chili, you know. And, you know, he was telling you what he put in it. And then he calls you again and says he's clipping his toenails out in the in the yard, you know. And I'm thinking, gross, didn't need to know that. You know, and he, I mean, he's always just so obnoxious. And then calls again, he's roasting a pig and or something to that effect. And, I mean, my husband's retired cabinet at the fire department for 35 years. And I know what a pig roast is like. And it's a three-day ordeal and affair. And it's fun, you know. But Dwayne just seems to be full of hot air. And I can't have him trying to badmouth Alabama anymore or trying to be obnoxious with Larry. I don't appreciate it. because Leader from Shelby is a pretty good old guy. I know you feel that way too. Almost all the callers do. And anyway, I just had to say that, you know, I don't know if you're still listening or not, Dwayne, but think a little bit about what you're saying, maybe, you know, and be bragging about your food so much, because I'm a little hesitant to eat anything you cook, you know?
Judy, thank you very, very much. Good to hear from you, and be well. Shane is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Shane. What are we listening to? Shane, good afternoon. I'm like old country, like Porter Wagoner and Gene Reeves. Mike is up next in Maine. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, sir?
Doing great. Thank you.
I was a letterman at the University of Tennessee back in the late 60s, and you were talking about athletes not going to class, whatever. Back then, you kind of had to go to class, and I had a teammate who used to dress up like a ninja warrior, blackface, whatever.
Yeah.
And he would go into dumpsters up on Ayers Hill and whatever and find copies of final exams. And Gibbs Hall used to have a line of people, you know. It was. Am I proud of it? Not particularly.
No.
But Tommy,
the statute of limitations is up, so it's okay.
Thank you for helping me get a B in statistics.
Well, that is a great story. Mike, if I ever told some of the stories, I'm not going to tell my stories like yours, because they might revoke my degree. Thanks for the call. Chad is up next. Hello, Chad.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I had a cool story I wanted to tell you. Hopefully I'll make it sound all right. But growing up, I had a cousin that I idolized here in Florence, Alabama, Damon Young, and he played for Bradshaw. And
right.
Amazing running back and linebacker. He wanted to play at Alabama, but he didn't make it, and he went on to Memphis University. He played at Memphis in the mid-'80s to late-'80s, and they beat Alabama one year. That was pretty tough, kind of taking that as an Alabama fan, but he was my idol. I looked up to him, and we went to go watch him play all the time and seen him get beat a lot. And his final game, they were playing in the Liberty Bowl Stadium, and they were playing for a winning record, and he intercepted a pass and ran it back 65 yards and threw it to me in the end zone.
Oh, wow.
And I was a 14-year-old kid. I caught it and jumped up and down. There wasn't nobody hardly at the game, so, you know. But my uncle, he asked me why I threw it back, and I didn't know why. They wanted the ball back, so I just threw it back. But in the interview, my cousin said he threw it to his dad, that he was always going to – told him he was going to run one back and throw it to his dad. But I was wearing a poncho, so you really couldn't tell. But it was actually me, and we were at all the games. And it was just one of them situations where you just kind of know there's a God, because just a beautiful situation to be a part of.
Well, Chad, I saw my first college game in that stadium, so the story really meant a lot to me. I appreciate you sharing that.
Well, thank you, Paul.
Thank you very much. Thanks for calling. We'll take a short break. 90 minutes remaining on a Monday afternoon.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. It was on Friday afternoon when the bombshell from East Tennessee came down. This is a headline earlier in USA Today. NCAA President Charlie Braker addresses future of federal legislation. What's interesting about our next guest is he was with a select group of reporters in Washington with Charlie Baker when that news broke. Steve Berkowitz, always great to have him on, just one of the preeminent reporters on the college sports scene. Steve, thank you for being with us as always. Take us back to Friday afternoon. We were trying to figure this story out as it was breaking, but you had a slightly different view of it all. Good afternoon.
Yeah, first of all, as always, thanks a lot for the kind words and thanks for having me on. Yeah, I mean, it was we were in a conference room in an office building downtown in downtown D.C. when I got a text message from Adam Sparks, who covers Tennessee for the Tennessean and the Knoxville News Sentinel. And Adam, you know, quickly texted me that the injunction, you know, the preliminary injunction had been granted. And so I leaned over and showed my phone to Charlie Baker and one of his top staff people who were there. And so, yeah, that's sort of how they got to find out about it.
Steve, I'm really interested because knowing the apparatus around the NCAA president, what did they do? Because I'm sure they didn't want him to talk about it until they had a chance to come up with one of their statements.
No, I mean, and he said straight away, hey, look, you know, I can't talk, you know, I don't have a comment on this, you know, we just got this. And so, I mean, you know, he was, you know, he didn't dodge it or just like pretend it didn't happen. I mean, he just said, you know, I can't talk about it here right now. And as you know, I mean, they ended up putting out a statement on Friday night that was pretty general in nature. How they go about this, I mean, they may still be sort of studying and trying to decide what their options are here.
Steve, we'll come back to that in a minute, but tell us more, at least what you can. I know you wrote about it earlier, but this sit down with Charlie Baker, these things don't happen very often. What's going on here?
I mean, I think that, you know, they were trying to, you know, introduce him to a number of reporters who don't normally on a day-to-day basis or on a regular basis cover the NCAA. So there were some folks who were based in D.C., who are not, you know, part of the usual crowd of people who cover the association. I think they were looking to sort of introduce Charlie Baker to those folks and let him sort of talk about his background and so on for people who are somewhat a little less familiar with him. But, you know, there were some others of us who are sort of regulars on it. And, you know, so we got to ask some reasonably pointed questions about stuff, but a lot of the answers were things that, you know, were, you know, some of the stuff that he's talked about before, but there were a few new things and a few new insights that he had there. But I think that's sort of what they were aiming at doing in being in Washington. Plus, he was going to be in D.C. anyway to speak to the National Governors Association. So they sort of, you know, combined these two things.
Steve, most people that we speak with praise him. I don't think it's hard being praised compared to Mark Emmert, but I am curious because I've seen him speak. I've read the interview that you did with him and others have done with him, but is it just simply that he is blocked in by the nature of the NCAA? Because he doesn't, I mean, other than his speech in Vegas a couple of weeks ago that stirred up a lot of things, what do you think he is saying and doing that is going to move the needle before it's too late?
I'm not sure how much he can do. I mean, beyond being able to get, influence people in Congress and in the administration to pass a law that, overturns a lot of what's going on, there's not a lot that I think he can do. They're obviously now playing with, they're having, they have a very tough time in court. This is not just Claudia Wilkin now, on a district court level who is finding in favor of athletes and plaintiffs against the NCAA. This is becoming a really significant problem for them. They're not doing, it doesn't appear that they are headed towards an outcome that they're going to like in the NLRB action involving USC and the Pac-12. They already lost with the NLRB action, or the NLRB, allowed the vote, a union vote, to go forward for the Dartmouth basketball team. I think he's in a really tough spot.
Steve, he mentioned in the conversation you were with about Congress. This is not a new song and dance. It's been going on for a long time. In fact, most of the top people in the sport were in Washington, D.C. last July. But nobody that we speak with, and again, I want your thoughts, think anything's going to happen, at least right now. You know what's going on in Washington. We all do. Not much. So how is he hoping to change this dynamic? And how long do you think it's going to take?
Well, the way he put it, and he put it through, he talked about it through the lens of his experience as the governor of Massachusetts, that, if you put out a proposal that's reasonably complicated, that, you're not going to get it on the first go-round and maybe not even on the second go-round within the legislative body. So, my impression of that is that they're sort of, at least he's in it for the long haul, and sort of keep banging on the door on Capitol Hill in the hopes of getting what they're looking for. And what they, desperately want is a form of antitrust protection. And he talks about how they're looking for something that's very, very narrow, but they're looking for antitrust protection that will allow them to make rules changes without the threat of getting sued. That's, that's going to be a tricky needle to thread. I mean, they're also looking for sort of a special sort of quote unquote employment status for athletes that would allow them, the schools to make deals with the athletes without them becoming employees of the schools in a traditional sense. And, again, these are really tricky things to try to thread through, a really divided Congress and having to find 60 senators who are going to agree on it.
Steve, and I realize I'm asking, you're an outstanding reporter, an investigative reporter, and I'm asking you to give political hot takes here, but just sitting there with him, listening to him, he's very smooth, he's polished, you don't get to where he has gotten without all of those. How would you characterize his patience at this point in time?
I think he's sort of playing a longer game. I mean, the problem or the question is like, will he be able, will the NCAA, will the schools, will conference commissioners be able to convince enough members of Congress to do something that they, on their behalf, essentially, before, enough other things start happening in the courts and in other places that really put them in a much, much tougher position. And, the process, some of the processes of these legal cases, while they're happening, in real time, they also could stretch out for years. I mean, these NLRB actions can be appealed to the full National Labor Relations Board. They can then be appealed to federal courts and so on. So, this stuff is going to, they have the ability to stretch this out for quite a while. The problem, as to go back to where we started with the Tennessee case, is that right now the judge issued this preliminary injunction, and as a result of that, there are basically no rules. And unless they can get a stay of that injunction, that's going to be in place until that case goes to trial.
Steve Berkowitz, who gives us great insight on what happened the other day and where intercollegiate athletics is heading. Many, many thanks, Steve. It's always great to have you on. Steve Berkowitz, investigative reporter from USA Today. As we head to the break, more to come, more of your phone calls right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
David is up next from Tennessee. Hello, David.
Hey, Paul. Long-time caller. Long-time listener, second-time caller.
Well, thank you.
You were going to school at UT when Bernard King came through there, weren't you?
Yes, I sure was.
Well, you can remember that game face that he got on, right?
Oh, he was amazing.
Brooklyn guy from Brooklyn.
One of the great players I've ever seen.
Yeah, I think he's the greatest player in SEC history, with all due respect to Pistol Pete. But they got another one that's up there right now, and that's Toby Awaka from Brooklyn.
Yeah, right.
And there was a few games ago, I think it was against Texas A&M on the road, when a brawl almost broke out, and he got that Brooklyn look on his face. But those New York guys, you don't want to mess with them, do you?
No. New York's a little different place.
And I was going to give you the exactly what happened in that.
It's come up a couple of times, and I've heard varying stories, so I want to know what happened. Tennessee at Missouri, pick it up.
Okay. Eli Drinkwitz was heckling Zakai Ziegler, who was getting ready to inbound the ball. And you were right about exactly what he said to him. You throw the ball away just like your quarterback.
Now, David, before you go on, because what you just got through telling me is incredible, what is the source of your information?
Basilio.
Okay.
For what that's worth. But anyway, supposedly ZZ's reply to Drinkwitz was, "I don't even know who you are, you four-eyed fat ASS."
Oh, my goodness. I wish I had heard that. I wish there was a tape of that.
That's pretty cool, isn't it? And you know ZZ's from up there.
Oh, yeah.
I know ZZ.
First of all, I don't know exactly what happened. That's a pretty good response. I mean, the idea that if it's true that Drinkwitz was heckling someone about the Tennessee quarterback.
That's pretty low down, isn't it?
If it's true.
Right. All right, check around on that.
Yeah, John, I know exactly what I am going to check that out with the source. Thanks so much for the call. John, do you know anything about Drinkwitz harassing a Tennessee player?
Well, Paul, I can say right now to David and to you is I'm not surprised. I believe that happened.
Okay. And you're a Missouri fan.
I'm a Missouri fan, but I'm not surprised that Coach Grink would say something like that. You know, sometimes, even though I'm a big Missouri fan, you know, sometimes Coach Grink gets in trouble for shooting his mouth off.
You're right. Okay. Well,
And that's not the reason I called up, Paul. Okay. Paul, this is a serious conversation tonight, and I'm just going to tell you, Paul, right now that I think your show is going to have to call Saul. Sure. And do you know Saul?
Yeah, I know.
You ever watch?
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
Yeah, better call Saul. And Paul, all comes back to my call. I called last week. I think it was Thursday. I called about indiscretions going on with your show and callers, and I really didn't get a clear answer from you about that.
No, no, John, you did get it. You did get it. No, 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 you did get a clear answer from me. What you said was a total misrepresentation.
Well, no, it's not, Paul. And I can tell you, I did some.
I think I might know a little bit more about what happens here than you do, sitting there in a basement in St. Louis.
I can tell you right now, young man, I checked out sources.
Oh, and okay, so you're going. So, John, you have better sources about what happens behind the scenes on this show than we do here?
Yes, I do, because okay. I talk to the people that are calling into the show.
Oh, okay. And would you like to name your sources?
Well, I'm going to talk about an individual here that I've been having dialogue with, and I'm not going to tell you exactly.
Go ahead. We don't have a lot of time. I don't want to miss this.
Okay, well, here's the deal. Do you remember Charles Colson?
Yeah, of course I do. White House... Chuck Colson. He got busted.
Chuck Colson. Okay,
He did the dirty tricks. Now he's an evangelist, or he was an evangelist.
And the plumbers.
Yeah.
And I've been having dialogue with Chuck on Facebook. And he told me exactly the path I was going down, Paul, was the right path to go down and try to talk to people who call into your show. And it's apparent that there are people and there are money trails.
By the way, Charles Colson died in 2012.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.